Jim Elliott and four other missionaries were seeking to reach out to a fierce Ecuadorian tribe known as the Alcas when those same Indians turned on them. But Jim's widow, Elizabeth, surprised many when she and her young daughter, Valerie, lived there with the same tribe for 2 years. On Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares with you the lessons learned through that and many other events in her remarkable journey.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking today with my daughter, Valerie. Valerie Shepherd, pastor's wife. Val, how about describing for us a little bit about what Sunday morning is like when your husband has to get to the church early and you're left to take care of seven children and try to get them all into the car, clothed, mm-hmm. and in their right minds. I remember one particular Sunday morning that you told me about when Jim couldn't find the Sunday school lesson that he was supposed to have studied, and Colleen had the wrong color socks on, and Walter said that he couldn't tuck his shirt in because of something to do with
the pockets.
The pockets, whatever that means.
Pockets,
what else?
Were too low on his shirt, so he couldn't tuck it in because it looked stupid, he said. Our preparation for Sunday has to begin on Saturday. We often get the younger children's hair washed before supper on Saturday. Christiana, my 11-year-old, loves to get out the dress and the socks and the shoes that she and her sister Evangeline, who she rooms with, are going to be wearing. She'll even have that out sometimes by 2 in the afternoon on Saturday. But often, because we have company over on Sundays after church, I have to really make sure that the house is neat and clean Saturday, and besides having the meal ready. And it always amazes my husband, Walt, how much there still is to do after supper. Even though I might have spent the day getting things ready, we still have to put away clutter and straighten up the den and the living room and make sure it's dusted and have the table set for company. Sunday mornings, my husband often gets up at 4:30, and I usually get up at 5 or 5:30, and there are always at least three different things pulling me as to what needs to be done. My hair needs to be curled, or I might decide I need to do my nails, or I want to have my devotions. That's the reason I get up so early. But so often on a Sunday morning, other things are taking my attention. For example, to make sure that the kitchen is ready and that the things are in the oven that are supposed to be going into the oven before we go to church. So I get up pretty early, and then my two oldest girls, Elizabeth and Christiana, get up about 7:15, and we wake up the younger ones by 7 or 7:15. We have breakfast probably at 7:45 on Sunday mornings, and we have almost everybody completely ready by breakfast time. And of course, hair fixing, since we have four girls, hair fixing takes the most time. And Christiana, 11, likes to fix her own hair. She knows I used to try to fix her hair too, and she would get frustrated because it would take so much time for me to do hers and the other girls. Elizabeth, who's 13, wants to keep things as simple and fast as possible, and so she doesn't, she curls her hair under, but she's still frustrated and struggling because she can't do it herself and often has to ask me to help her. Colleen and Evangeline have short hair, but always looks nicer when it's curled. So, and of course, we don't curl it every day, so Sunday mornings are the only mornings that we would curl, and that takes time. But we usually have everybody's hair ready and shoes and socks on by breakfast time. If not, there might be one of the younger girls, Colleen, who's 6, or Evangeline, 4, that might not have their hair ready yet until after breakfast. We sometimes, Elizabeth or Christiana and Walter, go to church with Walt, and he leaves about 8:00. They want to go to church early. They like to be there early. Sometimes Elizabeth and Christiana are helping with the music, and so they're expected to be there early. So that means that I don't have the extra help of them getting the diaper bag ready or making sure that Theo has his shoes and socks on and that Theo's bottle is ready in the diaper bag and that his blanket is ready. So it takes us from breakfast time until we leave at 9:10 to make sure that everything's together. And there are many Sunday mornings when I just beg the Lord to help me to keep a peaceful and sweet spirit through the whole next couple of hours so that I don't get irritated and yell at them, Colleen, to go find her shoes when they should have been put out the night before, and go put on a different pair of socks the morning that you mentioned. She had gotten her socks, her clean socks, dirty right after she'd gotten them, gotten dressed, because she loves to go outside and play. So there are many different things pulling at my attention, and my son Walter, who's almost 16, he gets up the latest, and he doesn't really have any other responsibilities except to get himself ready. And sometimes Walt has asked him to get up earlier so he can go to church early with him and help set up the speaker system or help set up chairs in a certain place. And but often he's going with us at 10 minutes to 9 and barely getting himself dressed. And he might help clear the table. He might put some dishes in the dishwasher if I ask him to and if I can see that I don't have the time to do it. But it's a busy morning, and I really try to have some hymn singing on the way to church. And if we've all been flustered and frustrated with each other, we have to start out with prayer and say, Lord, get our attitudes right as we go to church and help us to sing to your glory. And but the singing does help.
That's one of the things I always enjoy when I'm with you and you're driving that big old van and you start singing and the children eventually join in. Mm-hmm. I notice the little ones join in faster than the older ones usually and a little bit more audibly. Which brings up the question of, do your children enjoy being preacher's kids? Have they been labeled in any way? Do you think this bothers them, or what?
I think it bothers the oldest to the most that they're on display, and they do get embarrassed by people's comments about them. And especially if we're going to have people into our home, if I have a list of chores or a list of rewards and punishments up where people can see them, they don't like other people to read those lists. That's embarrassing to them. So we had a discussion about this just recently where my husband said, you know, it's really a private affair how a family deals with all the little things that go on at home, and so it shouldn't be on display. And my 11-year-old, Christiana, wanted it to be on display because she said, but we're being an example to other families, so shouldn't we have it out where people can see? We're talking about a list of punishments and rewards. And my husband won the battle here. He said, well, think about it, though. Shouldn't we keep it hidden where I can refer to it rather than people coming and saying, oh, so this is what you do when this happens, you know? He would much rather have it private. And I think that helped the children, that they, except for Christiana, they all agreed that it should be a private family matter. It doesn't need to be displayed to the whole world.
Yes, you would be opening up a whole area of your life to criticism, and you get enough.
Right.
As it is, you have enough areas that are like a goldfish bowl anyway, so I can certainly see the wisdom of Walt's wanting to have that private. But when it comes to your list of chores, is that something that you also have put in a private place, or can people look at the list on the refrigerator door?
No, there was a time when I had that in a private place, too. It's much easier just to put it on the refrigerator because I can refer to it so much more quickly. Actually, the chores at this point in our lives are so well known by each child that I don't even have a list of chores right now up on the refrigerator. And I might remind them. I mean, I might say, Jim, you need to vacuum the stairs. But it's something that they are learning to accept whatever I ask them to do, even if they might not have thought it was their turn. They're learning to accept cheerfully. I mean, I'm working on teaching them to say, yes, ma'am.
Okay, you said Jim is to vacuum the stairs. Jim is only 9 years old.
Yes.
Uh-huh. When did he learn to vacuum stairs?
When he turned 8, I think I began to ask him to do that. And he's a complainer. He'll complain about it, and he'll say the vacuum cleaner's too heavy to keep carrying each step as he vacuums. But I just tell him hard work's good for him.
And how about Evangeline, who's 4? Does she have a chore?
Yes, she has to empty all the waste baskets. She has to help Christiana clean the bathroom, and that means really cleaning the toilet and the sinks and the tub. She has to keep her room neat. She has to put away all her toys, often helps with setting the table or emptying the dishwasher. She loves to help me when I'm washing the breakfast dishes. She'll dry the dishes and put some of them away.
4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do commend you for that, Val, and it's certainly an area that I see a lot of failure in Christian families. They do not teach their children to work.
I think it's so easy to give up because of their sinful attitudes. I have definitely been at fault because of how hard it is to make them do it without complaints. And I've definitely been at fault listening to their complaints too much and thinking, well, maybe it is too hard for them to do. But the more I've persevered at it and the more it's become a regular part of our lives that they have to do chores, the easier it has become. And I really believe children need to learn to work. And if they don't learn to work, they're not going to be able to work when they grow up. And that's an awful thing to have a lazy adult around.
I saw a TV program once, I will confess, that I do watch TV now and then. And it was a discussion by parents who are bullied by their teenage children. Mm. And it was painfully obvious that the only reason that these children had the brass or the cheek or the disrespect to bully their parents was because their parents hadn't started early enough to teach them responsibility. And I'll never forget one woman said, well, if I ask my 17-year-old son to take out the garbage, he says, I will take out the garbage when I want to. And a woman in the audience stood up and she said, if my son
said that
to me, he would be wearing that garbage. Which I thought was a wonderful answer. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Val. Mm-hmm. My daughter Valerie has been telling us a little bit about what it's like to be a pastor's wife and the mother of 7 preacher's kids. And I hope we'll have a chance to talk some more about these things, Val. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.